Luke chapter number 2, and we all should know these verses. If we've not, you've been in church any time at all, there's something wrong. Shouldn't be just something we know here in the church. It should be something we know in our homes. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 1. Thus, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the Bible. And as we approach this season in December, if we think upon the very birth of your Son, Him coming as not just an example, but He came to die for us, the God-man. We think of His incarnation. We are so thankful that Jesus came to die for us on an old rugged cross. God, may we not look at this holiday the way the secular world looks at it and the way many other people have so focused on just the busyness and the activities, how to make money, how to fleece people during this season. May we be distinct, may we be different. Not so much that we're celebrating a day. We don't know the day of His birth, but we do know that He came. And what a tremendous reason to rejoice and to celebrate that our Savior came for us. Father, I thank you for your word, and I ask that you would bless the preaching this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I've spoken, I want to say it this morning a while back, but on these very same topics, but I think it's good to have a reminder. We are so busy during the holidays. From the time Thanksgiving gets here to the time New Year's, it's almost like there's not a moment's rest anywhere in our schedule. And it makes life very challenging. Let me say this, it makes it challenging. You have a kid playing football too, and you're getting into that season. We're thankful that that Andrew's team won the state championship the other day. We rejoice in that. But you know, that's something they've been preparing for a long time. They've been working hard for, and parents, you're proud, and you want to be there for those moments, and there's a lot of joy. But you know, this ought to be a time of season that we anticipate with great joy. Shouldn't be something that brings great anxiety. Shouldn't be something that brings us down. And I want to remind you to have a right Christmas. That's what I want to preach about, having a right Christmas. The problem is many people have a desire to have just the perfect Christmas. They want everything perfect. Grandparents and parents stress over getting everything right. The schedules, the parties, the right Christmas present. They want to make sure the tree is just perfect. When I was a kid, we would go cut down a cedar tree and stick up in the house. Then my mom thought it'd be smart if we just bought pine trees and stuck in there. And guess who got to dig the hole to put that pine tree in after Christmas was over? But it was always neat to try to go pick the right Christmas tree. But everybody can be stressed out on not just a tree, but trees and lights and decorations, making sure the cards are right, getting the pictures right. I can remember that I thought my wife was going to have a nervous breakdown a couple times, trying to get the picture that you would take to Walmart or somebody else to print of your children for Christmas, you know? And there's one year that we had the boys all standing in front of the Christmas tree, and I think Isaac was sitting there, maybe Eli behind him and Andrew, I don't remember. But the first picture, they're all smiling, they all look happy. And the next thing you see, somebody's got somebody in a headlock. Then all three of them tumble down head first over top. I mean, it was the craziest scene ever, and that's what I wanted to put on the card. Right? That's what we need. That's real life. I don't think she was in too favor of that. They all had their nice little vest on. They was looking handsome and all that kind of stuff. But it's difficult to do that stuff. We want everything just right. We want everybody happy. And we want to make sure everybody gets plenty. We like getting stuff too. But Christmas can turn into a real hassle if it's not done right. We may be humming, "I dream of a white Christmas." By doing that, what we're doing, we have this fantasy in our mind what a perfect Christmas is. Snow on the ground, everybody around the fire, drinking hot chocolate, everybody getting along, everything is just perfect. Everybody has the perfect gift. There's no more problems. And I guess that's, we talk about those. I better watch it, my Facebook post about the Hallmark movies. You see, we rush, we spend money, sometimes money we don't have, we're exhausted from running place to place, and somehow yet through all this we fail to make it all right. In our struggle to get it all right, we often get it all dead wrong. I mean, just dead wrong. I believe God wants us to get it right. Some people are so consumed to have their fantasy of it being perfect, the white Christmas, that they don't get a right Christmas. Christmas should be a time of wonder. It should be a time of blessing. It should be a time of worship. That's what it should be. You see, a time, not a time of frustrations, and certainly not a time of tension and conflict, just trying to make everybody happy. Christmas has easily become a time of distraction between what it really should be and the worship of the true and living God, and we get hung up on who's coming and personalities and what presents and who gave what and what we're doing this year. I want to tell you, that'll never get Christmas right. Here's what you get Christmas right. You got to have the right miracle. And the right miracle is simply this. The Bible tells us that it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. What was the miracle of Christmas? That there was a virgin that had conceived of the Holy Ghost a child, and it was unlike any other child before in history, and unlike any other child that had ever come before. This child was the Holy Son of God who was born the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. That was His job. That's what He came to do. Now, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not tree, and it's not tinsels, and it's not gifts. It's not glitter, and it's not even having your family and friends and having a magical experience going through a light show somewhere or visiting somewhere. It's not even Elf on the Shelf. And there's nobody that ever enjoyed Elf on the Shelf better than Grant Hardwick. I mean, I enjoyed Jack. That was the name of our elf. And guess what? It's not even about eight tiny reindeers, and it's not about a big jolly elf. That's not what it's about. It's about the incarnation. And that word simply means that God came in human flesh. That the God-man came. He humbled Himself. And imagine this. The very one, the angels cried, "Holy, holy, holy, from their inception and their creation around the throne of God, suddenly comes to this earth, and he doesn't come where everything's perfect, everything is clean, there's no tension, there's no trouble. He comes into a world of darkness, and he comes not to be born in a sanitary room or hospital, but to be born in a manger. Think about that, and placed in a manger where the animals were. That's how he came to this world. It's about the incarnation, the birth of the long-anticipated Son of God. Look in Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. It means all authority and power has been given to him. His name shall be called the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the increase of His government there shall be no end. I want to say to you, the kingdom of God will advance until the Lord comes. And when He comes, there's ultimate triumph, ultimate power, ultimate authority. And it says, no end upon the throne of David. Listen to that. And of His kingdom, to order it, to establish it with justice and justice from henceforth forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let me say, it's about this one who comes, the mighty God, the Counselor, the Everlasting Father. That is the miracle of Christmas that we need to focus on. And not only, you see, in Isaiah chapter number 7, look in Isaiah chapter number 7, I don't know why I turned away from there, but Isaiah 7 in verse number 14, and the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. You know what that is? That is God with us. You know, in the Gospel of John, it says that He tabernacled with us. That meant that He dwelt. When it says dwelt, meant that He tabernacled. In other words, He like He pitched a tent and lived among us. And that's what He did. But look in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. No, it's been a while since we've been there. But John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is that Word? Well, verse number 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, it's about Him. That's what this whole thing's about. It's about Christ. Let me give you the next thing. You need the right message. Look in verse number 8. Of Isaiah, or excuse me, I believe verse number 11. I got that all wrong. Not Isaiah, go back to Luke chapter 2, okay? Sometimes my brain's moving faster than my lips, maybe, I don't know, or maybe slower than my lips. But Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter 2. Now, verse number 11. For unto you is born this day. So the angels come and they announce to the shepherds that are abiding in the field. They're watching over their flocks. These men were pretty rugged, not scared of a whole lot. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Let me just tell you a little hint. If you see an angel, you will be scared. People act like, oh, I'd love to see an angel. I don't. I don't really want to see an angel. I'll just be honest with you. They were sore afraid. And the angel says, fear not, I bring you good tidings, great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But notice this, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. It is a personal message. For unto you, this message is for you this morning. For unto you is born, the Bible tells us, a Savior. It's a powerful message, a Savior. Mankind's greatest need is a Savior, one that can save them from their sins. You can't save yourself. It's not a possibility. You can't pull yourselves up by your own bootstraps. There's not enough religion in the world to save you. You can be follow the Mosaic system greater than anyone that's ever followed it, and yet you need a Savior. And so the Bible tells us here that what a powerful message. A Savior has come to save mankind. And so it was profound. And what was profound about it? Well, the Bible says that which is Christ the Lord. This is the one that is promised. It is Christ the Lord. And it's very pointed. And what was pointed about it, look in verse number 12. The Bible says, "And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." There was nothing ambiguous about it. This is Him. Pointed directly at Him. And this is the message of Christmas. Look in verse number 10. "And the angel said, Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And you know what the great tidings is? Christ has came for the lost. Thirdly, let me say this. You've got to have the right motive if you're going to have the right Christmas. Now, you notice the angels as you look at verse 13 and 14, the heavenly hosts, they were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill to men." You notice that they was the angels. What was their mission? Their mission was to announce and also to exalt the one who was born. Their mission, we might say, was to rejoice at His glory. And may I say to you, this is our motive right now. And you know what our motive should be? It ought to be to worship the one who is truly worthy. He's the only one that's worthy. That ought to be our motive. This is the job of Christmas. Let me say to you, Christmas should bring out from us a desire that we can do more for the Lord. Christmas ought to bring out a desire that we can give God glory in abundance. That ought to be the desire and the motive of Christmas. I want you to understand that the problem is many people are hung up on so many other things, and what it does, it brings them down. It gives them stress in their life because they're more concerned about what can I get or what can I do. What you can do and what every one of us can do equally is give God glory. That's the motive. Let me give you this number four. We need a right mandate. What's the right mandate? Well, it's pretty clear here. Look at verse number 15. The Bible says, "It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." And if you look in verse number 20, when the shepherds returned, they went returning glorifying God. They went praising God for all things they had seen as it was told them. So what was the mandate? Active obedience. The first thing that they were to do in verse 15 and 16, they were announced, and the shepherds said, "Let us go even now, even unto to Bethlehem, and see this thing." They were obedient at the message that God gave them. Now they're active obedience. You see, they're proactive busyness, because on the way, the Bible says, when they had seen it, they come and found the child, Mary and Joseph. They found the baby lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying. In other words, everybody they met along the way and everybody that had an opportunity to meet, they told about what the angels had said, what they'd heard, and that they had seen the child. They had seen this one. To everybody they met, they were proactive in their busyness telling them about the Christ child. Here's another thing. There's an act of transformation, because these men went from fearful and men that were outcasts of society to being the very ones that were not only announcing His birth, but they were rejoicing that a Savior had come into this world. Look in verse 20. "And the shepherds returned how? Glorifying and praising God." That's how they returned. So we see their life and you say, what is this? I want you to understand, this is, if we look here in this, the mandate is still yet the same for every Christian. And what is it? We're to come and see the Christ child, and we're to leave, we're to go and tell and praise His name. Let me say to you, if you're going to have a right Christmas and not the commercialized, cultural, image of what a perfect Christmas is, but a right Christmas. It takes this. We must wonder at His birth. We must marvel at the power of the message of His birth. We must give glory to Him for His birth and share that birth with others. That's the job. That's how to have a right Christmas. You must know the Christ child.